Now that we're at peace with one another, we have an opportunity to hear God speak to us through His Word. Michelle is going to read for us this morning. But to prepare our hearts and our minds for that, I invite you to join with me in the prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. Lord God, may Your Word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The reading today is from Ruth 2, verses 1 to 23. It could be found on page 413 of your pew Bibles, or you could follow along on the screens above you.
There you go.
I feel like I'm talking so loud. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the fields where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the fields until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said. He even said to me, "Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, thanks to Ruth for reminding us kind of where we are in the story this morning. Where last we left Ruth and Naomi, they were standing next to each other, with Naomi declaring to her friends, "Don't call me Naomi," which means filled or blessed. "Instead, call me Mara." Mara meaning bitter, empty. "For," she said, "I left full and I came back empty. God has taken everything from me and I am all alone." Even when Ruth, her daughter-in-law, was standing right there next to her as the symbol of God's loyalty and kindness. And anyone remember the word that we used to talk about God's loyalty and kindness, the Hebrew word, where you have to spit on the person in front of you? Anyone remember it all? We'll learn it again. Chesed. 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 Loyalty. Kindness. And so, as we pick up the story today, Ruth and Naomi are living in Naomi's old home on their land. But of course, it's been several years since anyone has lived there, and so the land doesn't have any crops in it. So the question arises, how will Ruth and Naomi live? Here they are, a couple of widowed women without any men to earn for them on their behalf. And so, what we know from a study of the Old Testament, if we were to read the book of Leviticus, we would find there a law regarding how the nation of Israel is supposed to harvest its crops. It goes something like this. When you harvest your land, don't pick every plant clean, but instead leave some of your crops behind so that those who are in need can come along behind you and glean what you leave behind. And so this word glean, this term, is going to become very important for us. It's sort of a early Israelite welfare system, if you will, put into place so that the orphans and the widows can be protected. Essentially, widows, strangers, the alien in their midst, foreigners, would ask to come onto a person's land and collect up the things that the harvesters left behind, gather it together, go home and eat it, and then, of course, go back the next day. And now, the harvesting season is not very long. At the end of this, we learn that Ruth stayed in Boaz's field from the time of the barley harvest to the time of the wheat harvest. We're talking about 7 weeks here, with a festival on either end. Now, the most that a person could possibly hope to glean in a single day from what was left behind was enough food to feed their family for maybe 1 or 2 days. So this is not a long-term kind of a system. The food is there for those few days, and then after that, the people need to rely on the kindness of strangers in other ways. And so Ruth goes out and finds a field to glean in. Notice with me that Ruth doesn't know what field she's in. She's a stranger in a strange land. And the narrator, by the way, tells us that over and over and over again by referring to her as Ruth, the Moabitess, who came with Naomi from the land of Moab. So in case you forget that Ruth is part of the enemy camp, according to the Israelites, the narrator reminds us again and again and again. This is Ruth the Moabitess who came from the land of Moab. So here she is, a single widowed woman who is a Moabite, who is gleaning in the land of a stranger, someone that she doesn't know. So she starts out very early in the morning and goes to work. And she follows behind the harvesters, picking up the things that they leave behind and filling up a basket so that she can take it home to her mother-in-law, Naomi, so that they can survive. The landowner comes home, and his name, we learn, is Boaz. Boaz being the Hebrew word for strength or strong man. And the narrator tells us that he is a strong man in the community. He has high standing in that community, probably has a large field. So he comes home and looks at all of his harvesters and looks at those who might be gleaning in his field, and he sees a woman that he's never seen before. And he turns to the sort of chief of his harvesters and says, "Who is that woman over there?" To which the chief replies, "She is the Moabitess who came with Naomi from Moab. She got here early in the morning and she's been working very hard all day except for a short rest that she took in a shelter." So Boaz comes up to Ruth and he says to her, "Tomorrow, don't go to anyone else's field, but stay here in my field. Glean here every day as long as the harvest lasts, for here you will be protected." Now remember here that Ruth is a single woman, a foreigner, out there on her own. This is a dangerous proposition. Who knows what could possibly happen to her in some stranger's field? Someone could do something to her and no one might ever find out about it because no one knows really who she is. She might not even be missed as a foreigner in this strange land that she is in. But Boaz sees her, and having heard what she did for her mother-in-law, the kindness, the loyalty that she showed to her, the chesed that she showed to her, in turn decides to show the same kindness to Ruth by saying, "Come and eat at my table." And so she does. At break time, at mealtime, she comes, she eats. She eats enough for herself and has enough left over to take home to Naomi to have a meal as well. And then he says to his harvesters, "This woman is to be protected. When she's behind you, pull out some of the sheaves, some of the grain, but rather than place it into your own barrel, lay it on the ground instead, so that when she follows behind you, she can pick it up." And at the end of the day, I'm sure when Ruth thought that she was going to fill up a small bucket to take back so that she and Naomi could eat that night, she takes home a full stomach for herself on the meal that she ate at Boaz's table, enough left over for Naomi to have a meal, and an ephah of grain. I know that we have some ancient Hebrew scholars here among us who can tell us what the ancient weight and measure of an ephah is, right? Obviously. Think about 22 liters. You can imagine 11 2-liter bottles, how heavy that might be, and then filled up with grain instead of water. We're talking about 30 pounds of grain. And so Ruth hikes up this 30-pound barrel of grain and hauls it back to Naomi. And Naomi, upon seeing her arrive, says, "Whose field did you get that out of?" She's probably thinking to herself, she must have gone in front of the harvesters in order to gather this much grain. This is enough to last them for quite a while, not just a day or two, but this is going to last them a good long time. Naomi says, "Blessed be the man in whose field you work today." And Ruth says, just pick this field. This guy named Boaz, I don't know, nice guy, had dinner at his table. From Ruth's perspective, this day was filled with good fortune, certainly. How lucky that she would arrive in the field of a guy who was so nice as Boaz. From her perspective, she's like hit the lottery, right? She picked all the numbers and the Powerball in this one, right? This guy is so wonderful. He's given her a place to work in safety, and he's given her a seat at his table to eat along with his servants, even though she doesn't have the standing of one of his servants. She is a Moabitess from Moab. What good fortune she has. How lucky for her. But when Naomi hears the name Boaz, she exclaims, "Blessed be God Almighty. He has not stopped showing favor to the living and the dead." Naomi recognizes in what Ruth sees as good fortune the hand of God at work. How many times in our lives have we experienced the sort of dumb luck or serendipity or, you know, good fortune or whatever it is we might want to call it in our lives? We've experienced this before, right? That by no work of our own, somehow everything seems all to have worked out for us. And we certainly didn't work in order for it to happen. You know, the stars just aligned in the right way. You know, our horoscope said that, you know, the Virgo is in the right position in the sky and all of this stuff, right? But Naomi, she looks at this and sees that there is no happy accident going on here. This is God at work in their midst. This is God orchestrating all of these things. Now, the narrator doesn't tell us that. The narrator doesn't say, "And God spoke to Ruth and said, Ruth, go to the land of Boaz." And God doesn't speak to Boaz and say, "Boaz, upon this woman, show your favor." And God doesn't, you know, actually orchestrate all of these things. And yet, in the background is the faithfulness, the loyalty of God. That even when Naomi sees that God has dealt her a raw deal, God is saying, "No, I am loyal, I am kind, and I show my loyalty and kindness through the seemingly happy accidents in life." In this way, God is active and present even when it's hard to to see, even when the characters themselves don't acknowledge it. What is Boaz doing? He's just doing what the law says he should do. He's an Israelite. He follows the book of Moses, and in the book of Leviticus, it says that you're supposed to show kindness to the stranger. And so, he's just following the law. Now, granted, he's following it to a greater degree than is actually required by the law, and yet he's recognizing in this an opportunity to show the kindness and loyalty that God has shown to him. And it's not as if he's doing this at no cost to himself, right? She carried 30 pounds of grain away. Instead, if she had carried like 5 pounds away, that would be 25 more pounds that Boaz could have sold at market or provided to his own family. So this is a bad financial deal for him, and yet it's exactly what God has called him to do, and he knows it. He's not showy about it. He doesn't come out and say, you know, well, God commands me to do this, and so I'm going to do this. No, he just does it because he knows it's the right thing, and because he's a follower of the one true God, it happens naturally out of who God has created him to be. What a wonderful, wonderful way that God has of working in our midst, even when we don't recognize what's happening. Naomi, for her part, bitter and empty as she might be, recognizes the hand of God instantly. And upon hearing the name of Boaz, she points out another Levitical law, that Boaz is a Goel. Goel, a kinsman redeemer. See, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's sermon, Ruth and Naomi are living in Naomi's house. They have this land, but there are no crops there. They're just living in this home. But all of this land is available to them, but they don't have the means of caring for it. They don't have the means of planting crops and gaining this economic interest for themselves. God saw that this would be a possibility long before this, and so laid forth in his conversations with Moses that when this happens, when you end up with a woman whose husband dies before she has children, or whose children die before she does, that someone who is next of kin, a brother or a relative of some sort from the husband's family, is supposed to marry the woman himself so that she might have children and that the land and the line may not pass outside of the family. And so when Naomi hears the name of Boaz, she recognizes right away that he is one of these kinsmen redeemers. He is one of these from the house of Elimelech, who can come along and redeem their land and redeem their lives at the same time. And so Naomi says to Ruth, go, continue to glean in his fields, for he is one of us. We don't know if Boaz remembers that he is a kinsman redeemer. We don't have any indication that Ruth has any understanding of what a Goel is. She may not have any idea. But in all of this, in all of the ways that things seem to be lining up, one of the things that we might miss is that Naomi, who is empty and bitter, praises God when she hears that Ruth has met Boaz. In the seemingly random but in character way that Boaz relates to Ruth, Naomi's redemption journey begins. In the kindness of a stranger, hope is born in a hopeless place in Bethlehem. So the question comes to us then, in what ways have we acted without realizing it that have caused hope to be born in someone who is hopeless? In what ways is God calling us in our ordinary lives, in our jobs, in our schools, in our retirement, whatever it might be, to simply be faithful to who God has called us to be, to begin working the act of redemption in the life of someone that we may not even recognize? In circumstances that we might say are completely random, in what ways is God calling us out of faithfulness to bear the hope of the faithfulness, the loyalty, and love of God? And so our story continues on. We have Naomi, who's beginning to see hope. We have Ruth as the friend. And we have Boaz, the strong man, all of whom God is working in and through to show what chesed is all about: loyalty, kindness, and love. It's through these ordinary stories like Ruth that we see God at work in our own lives as well. So let's spend just a couple of moments in silence, reflecting on our own lives this week, looking for those ways that God has been, in the minor details of our lives, working to bring us to the point where we are today. Let's pray together. Most holy God, in many ways, great and small, you've been working abundantly in our lives. Continually show us how you are at work. Continue to free us to be a people who are your beacons of hope in the world, bringing hope to seemingly hopeless situations as individuals and together as a church. We thank you for the way that your son Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, shows forth that loyalty and kindness to us, making it possible for us to truly show loyalty and kindness to one another and to the strangers in our midst. Continue to guide us and direct us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you please stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.